Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs. You'll find a host of Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on various subjects, other sermons and PowerPoint presentations, articles, and a host of other Bible-related study material that will help you and aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. I also might remind our listening audience that every day on Facebook, I have a program that is entitled Words of Life. And it may be 4 or 5 minutes in length. I have that every day on my Facebook page, and please give it a listen. And we try to give you some scripture and then give you some thoughts about that scripture in order to provoke your thinking. If you have the opportunity and time, please give it a listen. Today, we want to look at the last two parts of our series on what saves man, one thing or many. And then, Lord willing, we're going to conclude this series next week by going back and re-examining and putting all this together and drawing a conclusion. I want to begin this lesson today by looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, of which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, they've all been made to drink into one Spirit. And then lastly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor is entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the spirit of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. You remember last week we examined that man is saved by God and he is saved by Christ. Now we're going to see the third part of the Godhead that also was instrumental in salvation, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was instrumental in helping save us because he was the revelator. He was the one God gave the job and gave the responsibility of revealing his mind. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. He revealed the mind of God. He told us what God wanted man to do in order to be saved. And then he inspired writers, about 40 of them, to write down the words in the Bible so that we would have a record, that we would have the surety, and we would have the knowledge needed in order to be to save our souls by the word that was revealed by the Holy Spirit. You see, God made the plan. Jesus Christ was the Redeemer. He was the piece of the plan to bring it to fruition. And then the Holy Spirit made it known so men could obey it, so men would know what God had in mind for them. What was in God's mind? What was he trying to accomplish? What was he trying to do? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why was it necessary? Why did he have to go through that? All of that was revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit working with God, working with the Son, the three of them in the Godhead, they brought about salvation. And man is saved because of the work of each one of them, by the work that God did, by the work that his Son did, and by the work that the Holy Spirit does in revealing the mind of God. And according to passages like John 16:13, he led them into all truth. He has given them all truth. There is no more truth. There is no more revelation. Some denominations and some religious people teach that the Word of God is ever-changing and that there's other information that he gives us through inspired men that he wants us to know. That's just simply false. The Bible says that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. And as we read in John, it says that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. All truth means there's nothing left. And 2 Timothy 3:17 says that man is equipped for every good work. God's inspiration equipped man to every good work. And so man is saved by the Holy Spirit, by the revelation that he made to give him the knowledge that he needed in order to obey the gospel of Christ. That leads us to our last point. And we find that in Hebrews 10:9. Hebrews 10:9. Where the Hebrew writer wrote, "Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second." And then we look at Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And then lastly, in Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9. The scripture says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You see, we're saved through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ was absolutely necessary in order to take away a man's sin. The only known element powerful enough to wash away sin is the blood of Christ. Now, the blood of Christ washes away sin. How does it do it? Let's look at Acts 22. Let's look at verse 16. This is recounting the conversion of Saul of Tarsus by Paul himself to a mob in Acts 22. And in verse 16, we read, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." There's another part that we looked at earlier, calling on the name of the Lord. But notice he said, you call on the name of the Lord to have your sins washed away. Now, our sins are washed away. Now, does that mean that when a man enters the waters of baptism, the water turns black or it turns red? No. But what happens is there's a spiritual operation that takes place in the waters of baptism, according to Colossians 2:11-13. And God works an operation made without hands. And that's why Romans 6:4 says that he arises out of baptism, contacting the blood of Christ, to walk in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read that he's a new creature. Why is he a new creature? Because he has been born again. Because he has been cleansed by the blood of Christ. The pure, sinless blood of Christ. Precious and sinless. Read 1 Peter 1:19-20. It's the pure, sinless blood of Christ that gave us salvation. And so the blood of Christ was absolutely necessary to pay the redemption price. That's why Romans says he was the justifier and the just. Sin had to be paid for. Somebody had to pay for my sin. Somebody had to pay the price. The price of sin was death. Someone had to pay the bill. Who paid that bill? Jesus paid that bill with his blood. It was by the blood that he shed that made redemption and forgiveness of sins possible, as we read in Ephesians 1, verse 7. It's that blood that was sinless, that was unblemished, that had never transgressed and never yielded to temptation. It was that blood that bought us. And that's why we're bought with a price. We're not our own, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You see, it took the blood of Christ in order to redeem us, to sanctify us, to justify us, to separate us from sin, and to pay the price that every one of us would do to pay by our death. But we don't have to pay it because Jesus paid it for us. And so by the blood of Christ, man is saved. The passages we read just a moment ago clearly and definitively says that it is by blood of Christ that we have been saved. And so what did we find out today? We found out that the Holy Spirit worked in unison with the Father and the Son to reveal the plan made before time began in order to bring about the salvation of sinful men. And Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood so that we could have redemption and forgiveness of sins, so we could be justified. What's that word justified mean? That means to be acquitted. That means to be made right. We can be made right in the sight of God. Even though we have sinned, and even though we are sinful men, we can have the confidence to stand before God on the day of judgment, not in fear, not in trembling, but knowing that we have been redeemed by the blood of his Son, and we can stand justified before God and receive the promised reward that he has promised to those who have been faithful to him and have loved him by demonstrating their obedience. And so the blood of Christ was instrumental in order to take away the sins of the world. By the way, without the blood of Christ, there would be no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. And the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. Hebrews 10:1-4. It took something much more precious, much more valuable, much more powerful in order to take away sin. It took a man who lived on earth as a man, who lived a perfect life, never yielding to sin, never transgressing the law of God, and being faithful all the way to his death upon the cross to offer a pure, sinless sacrifice in order to redeem us from our past misconduct and to wash us by his blood in the waters of baptism. And it is the only known element powerful enough to do that. And so what have we learned today? We've learned that man is saved by the Holy Spirit, by revealing God's plan so it could be obeyed by those who need to obey it. And that's all of us, because we're all of a guilty of sin. And we are saved by the blood of Christ because it was shed in order to be the element that would be powerful enough, strong enough, and would be the redemptive quality to bring about our salvation. And the blood of Christ had the power and does have the power to do that. And so what we hope, ladies and gentlemen, is that you will avail yourself to the words revealed by the Holy Spirit, that you will be washed in the blood and understand there's power in the blood. And it can redeem you from sin. It can make you part of the kingdom of God. It can put you in the body of Christ. And it can give you salvation and hope that can only be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We hope.